The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
Good morning, Long Island. Welcome to DDI on Autism on 103.9 FM, keeping an eye on autism and giving a voice to its Long Island community. I'm your host, Dr. Michael Romas. Again, so glad that you can join us this morning as we share and explore all relevant issues related to autism spectrum disorder. Well, you know, this morning we're going to continue our conversation around the importance and the usefulness of assisted technology. My guests are again Gina Antefeo, Brianna Graham, and Colleen Costello. And, where we left off in last week's conversation, we were talking a lot about its applications, like what it means to bring assisted technology into the lives of people who may have special needs, whether they're cognitive or physical, and what that can look like in the home. But, you know, we really only barely touched on what it means for the staff who are involved in the support to wrap their heads and the family's heads and everybody around this concept of the dignity of risk. So, maybe, Gina, I'm going to turn this right to you first, and let's talk about the dignity of risk, a kind of an elegant phrase. What are we talking about here?
Well, we're talking about a mind shift.
Yes.
In
the
population,
yes.
In agency mindset. A lot through the years, through the decades. I've been with DDI for 28 years, so even upon starting, it was supervision and pretty much directing individuals on what they should be doing next, and possibly locking things up because they might, have a behavior that required that. So this is a mind shift of being open-minded and supporting individuals and to be the most independent that they can be. And dignity of risk is certainly a factor. And that probably is one of the most challenging things in the beginning for myself and some of the team members was really that mind shift. Like, oh, okay, so an individual can have an opportunity to express their wants and needs and finding out the best possible means to do that. So with technology in this instance, just opening up a whole opportunity and being okay with, things that happen in our own personal lives and the individual's lives, and being okay with that, mm-hmm. and kind of giving the person or the individual the dignity of the risk,
yeah.
to make that happen.
Absolutely, Gina. And I think the phrase itself, and the reason I think I described it as kind of elegant, is that it's almost an unlikely pairing, because risk is something that we almost guard against, right? As unlikely and dissonant pairings. We guard against risk, yet we're always promoting dignity. Mm-hmm. And yet here in one phrase we have them, framed and paired. And I think that's the point, that sometimes we do have to let the reins go a little bit, and there is dignity in that if that really means allowing somebody to live richer and more independent lives. As an agency, as people who are providers by nature and by design, we had to kind of wrestle with how much risk are we comfortable with, how much risk is acceptable, right? As
right.
families and parents do. And we're making those decisions for ourselves all the time, right? What level of risk is
sure.
acceptable.
Sure.
So I think in that one way, I think that very important way, what you're doing, living more independently in your own home, is actually charting new ground for people with some special needs. You're actually charting new ground. I think that's very, very exciting.
So, I think it's continuous, too.
Oh, that's interesting.
I think it's continuous, with the staff and the family members and I think even the team members, working together and sometimes we need the reassurance, okay, well, things happen in real life and how can we really, still have the dignity of risk and parental concerns.
Yeah.
And so it's continuous conversations, continuous team meetings, continuous,
sure.
throughout.
No, I think that's such an important, I think you're making a very important point because that paradigm shift, the way you kind of described it as being able to wrap our heads around and see things a little differently, it's not just a single decision, right?
Right.
It's just, as you're saying, Jeanne, it's continuous. It's every time you come to the table and renegotiate a prospect or an opportunity,
sure.
right? You have to look at that from a new lens. Brianna, I see you nodding over there, smiling and nodding yes. But I want to ask you too, because you've been such an integral part of Colleen's independence in this last year.
Yeah.
How does that hit you too, this idea of dignity of risk? What are your thoughts?
Well, it could be challenging sometimes, and for the most part, you know, since I've been working with Colleen.
Yeah.
Since I've been working with Colleen, you know, I haven't seen, you know, a different side of her, especially ever since she's moved in independently completely. So she hasn't, you know, displayed anything.
Sure.
She hasn't, you know, no mood shifts or anything like that, right, or whatever. If she, you know, starts to display, you know, something that a little abnormal, I would definitely nip it in the butt.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, you know, she hasn't really, ever since she's moved into her apartment, I haven't seen anything different with her.
Mm-hmm. I think the reason I wanted to hear and continue to want to hear your impression, I guess, Brianna, is as a direct support professional, you have such a principal role in Colleen's life and in a particularly unique place to observe and assess the merits of an initiative like this, the safety, and whether or not the impact on Colleen's life is good, and that's why I think, especially in your role, you know, and especially over this last year, I think that observation is going to be really important. But most importantly, Colleen, most importantly,
yeah,
I really want to hear from you. What does it feel in you're living more independently, aren't you? You're living more freely. You have more control over your life.
Yeah.
Do you feel that way? Do you feel like you have more control over your life?
Yeah.
Okay, because I remember in our last segment, we talked about your ability to travel independently, right? You have a trip coming up to Mexico. Mm-hmm. You go to the clubhouse, you work out, you go to work. Do you also find that you're in your home more? Do you stay home a lot and feel safe in your home?
Yeah.
Okay. Because
I'm on my own.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
I'm on my own. I'm doing my laundry, cleaning up a house, vacuum, cleaning up a bathroom, I go shopping, grocery shopping, buy something for the house, mm-hmm, first, and then work out clothes, and then wait.
I love that, Colleen. I love that you're able to do that all by yourself, and what you really kind of just shared with all these activities of daily living that so many people struggle with, you're doing them on your own, and you're doing them in the privacy mostly of your own home.
Yeah.
I think socialization is a good piece to talk about, Colleen, too. Mm-hmm. You've expressed different things and different gatherings that you wanted to meet new people. And there was a time where you had some ladies over for tea and cookies.
Oh, that's nice.
So kind of just branching out and meeting new people in socialization groups is something that we're working on continuously with her family and the team.
Well, I think that's what every family wants for the people they love, to be as comfortable and secure in their own skin and in their own homes as they can. And Colleen, the fact that you were able to host a gathering, I mean, that's a mark of genuine, independence. So I think that's something to feel, you know, really, really good about. You know, what's interesting to me, though, I think how things snowball in a good way sometimes. So like independence around, right, Colleen? Independence around the gym, independence around travel, depends on your home. All of a sudden, you're in a position to kind of extend that even further, and now you also can host something as well.
Yes.
Like good things can like kind of build on each other.
Sure.
And I think that's what we're seeing.
Definite stepping stones.
Right, stepping stones. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a good way. I think also, ladies, do you agree, Colleen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got a nursing home almost 13 15 years.
Well, that's your job.
That was a long time.
Yeah,
I did a good hardest worker.
You're a very hard worker.
2020, I'm going to be working very hardest. Well, I'm going to be very hardest, very richest, very highest money, very biggest, very fattest paycheck.
It seems to me that you've set your goals very high, because I hear all these superlatives, the best, the most, and the best. And I know that's, why not set them high? And to your credit, Colleen, the fact that you've worked and you've kept this job for 13 years, it just demonstrates.
Yeah, she has a journal which she writes in every day.
Oh, no kidding.
Good. Yes.
And you write every day?
Yeah, she comes home usually after work, you know, that... You know, she's unwinding and stuff like that. And she writes in her journal.
Sure. Well, you know something?
Good.
Let's hold that though, because when I come back, I want to talk more about your work.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about a little more about what it means to be independent. Okay?
Yeah.
So stay with us. You're listening to DDI on Autism on 103.9 FM.
I'm going to have